Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Show is on the air. How's your Monday? Are you over it? As the weekend of the NFC and the AFC championship games, to say they incited a few people might be an understatement. 855-830-8648. You've got full phone lines. If a line becomes available, that is the Milwaukee Admirals hashtag Mill Hockey Talk Line. Milwaukee Admirals hashtag Mill Hockey Talk Line. Our good friends from the Admirals, they bring you that each and every day. You can try us there. You can also find us over on the radio.com app if you're out traveling around or maybe you're inside a building that doesn't get great reception or you just want to put us on your mobile device, go to radio.com, download the app. You can listen to us, favorite us if you would. We certainly appreciate that. Twitter is a great way to get a hold of the program. Simply twitter.com @Bill_Michaels or @RadioJoeSports. Facebook fan page, that's over there with the Bill Michaels Show. Blue check mark, look for that. BillMichaelsSports.com is one of the best ways to find out all our links and everything we have going on. And by the way, I want to remind you, please go like us, not only on Twitter, but like us on the Facebook fan page and check out the website as well, because when we head down to Atlanta, coming up on Saturday, we're going to be heading to Atlanta. The sights, the sounds, the pictures, podcasts, all that stuff will start to be loaded. So if you want to kind of live vicariously through us, man, follow us there, because we're going to try to bring you as many pictures and as many sites as we possibly can. And Mike Clemens does an amazing job of photo documenting just about everything we do and putting videos up. And we're going to do a lot of that when we're down there. So really looking forward to the coverage and looking forward to sharing it with you as well. Back to the phone calls. If you want to chime in, if a line becomes available, again, it's 855-830-8648 on the Milwaukee Admirals hashtag Milwaukee Talk Line. Joseph on the northwest side. Joseph, how are you doing today, man? What's going on?
Good, Bill. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, no problem.
What I wanted to talk about is how much last night made me think about the Packers. It seems like everyone is trying to compare Rodgers and Brady and trying to get Rodgers to act more like Brady and, like you say, dink and dunk down the field. But I think Aaron isn't that kind of guy and never will be. I think LaFleur has to use Aaron how he is now and use those strengths to the Packers' advantage. Do you agree or disagree with that? I'll hang up and listen.
What I said last night about Tom Brady, I think, goes for any quarter. And I was even saying about Patrick Mahomes yesterday, too. What Tom Brady does, better than anybody, okay, and I don't care. People say, well, it's a system. I don't care. He is the master of that system. Joe Montana was the master of the West Coast Bill Walsh offense. He had Jerry Rice, and he used that to perfection. What he does is he gets rid of the football. He throws to spots. His guys run crisp routes. They do it disciplined, and he can dink and dunk his way down the field. Hey, this is what he does. He'll throw quick outs. He'll get a rhythm going. Never takes every second of the play clock continuously, okay? Get the play call, get to the huddle, get to the line of scrimmage, snap the ball, get to the out. Very rarely do you see him running around. People say, well, he doesn't run around. Well, he doesn't have to. He gets rid of the football. And he lets his guys make plays. He let Gronk make plays. He let Edelman made plays last night. go up and get me one. I need it. Go get me a football. And that's exactly what he did. He does it as he threw that pass to Hogan. Hogan had to go up and get one. Dorsett, the same thing, had to go up and get one. Go make a play. Hell, Cordarrelle Patterson made one for 15 yards on a catch and run. Go make me a play. And every now and then he'll go downfield. But I'm not going to penalize Brady because he runs the play the way it's called. You know, that's you know, like penalizing a race car driver because he just drives the car and lets the accidents fall by the wayside and he stays safe and wins the race. You know, I mean, I don't know what else to say. He's good at it. Aaron Rodgers is unbelievably good at extending plays and then being accurate on the run. He's made his living like that. That's wonderful. But what we've seen a gradual transition towards is more of the spaghetti X's and O's and less and less and less relying upon the scheme of getting guys open or giving guys the opportunity to make a play. In a game in which he had to make guys make a play, going back to the game one against the Chicago Bears, he wasn't throwing 70-yard touchdown passes, but he was giving it to guys who then were getting yards after the catch, turning it into a 70-yard touchdown pass. Give guys an opportunity. So, no, I don't want Aaron Rodgers to be exactly like Tom Brady, but there are times when I can't tell you how many times we're sitting in the press box or how many times we're watching it on TV or how many times you can clearly see in a game tape, there's a guy open. He's right. You looked right at him. There's nobody within 7 yards of this guy. And it's a 5-yard out, and you only need 4 for a first down, but you look off of him, and you're now looking downfield for the big play when you could have lived to have fought another day. That's what Brady does so well. That was the drive, the masterful drive that he engineered to take him in for a win and then allowed the running game to ultimately win the game. That's what he does. That's the reason he's considered the great, and that's the reason he's got 5 rings going for his 6th. Because that's what he does. 855-830-8648. Back to the phone calls. Talk to Marty in Neillsville. Marty, how you doing today? What's going on?
Hey, Bill. Great show once again, and really enjoying it today.
Thank you.
First off, I just want to say, I have a question, but first of all, I just want to say, I agree with Radio Joe. The Saints belong, they're the ones that should be going to the Super Bowl, not the Rams at all. I mean, yeah, if the Saints would have did everything they were supposed to do, in that final drive, where you know just ran the ball and let the Rams use the timeouts, they'd be probably going. Here's my question, Bill.
Yeah.
The officials get together to wave off penalties. If there isn't a penalty, they'll get together and wave it off. Why can't they get together and
throw a flag
when it's obvious?
Yeah, and throw a flag. That's a great question, and I don't have an answer to that. That is a great question, though. We've seen them time and again pick up a flag because somebody will come in and say, well, the ball was tipped at the line of scrimmage or this or that didn't exactly happen to make it a penalty situation. Why can't they come in and then toss the flag in the air after the fact? I completely agree with that because everybody saw it. You know what I mean? I mean, in full speed, Marty, appreciate the phone call. In full speed, my first thought, that ran through my head was, it wasn't pass interference, it was helmet to helmet. You hit a defenseless guy in the head. Okay, there was no flag for that. And then my thought was, well, maybe they didn't throw the flag on the pass interference because maybe they thought the ball was like not catchable or something, but it was still a helmet to helmet hit.
When that play happened, at that very moment when it was bang bang, what was your reaction watching it?
That's what I'm saying. My first thought was, I'm looking for the flag.
Right, where's the flag?
I'm looking at the defender's reaction because he knows he's about to be flagged for a helmet-to-helmet hit.
Robey Coleman was looking for it.
He was looking for it. And the ref kind of reached and then took the arms and waved it like the play was dead. And I'm like, wait a minute, what? And then when they showed the replay, I thought, well, maybe they thought it was like an uncatchable ball or I don't know. And then I saw the play from the end zone portion of it. I'm like, no. That was a flaggable offense in every sense of the word. But my first thought was that was helmet to helmet. To heck with pass interference, that was helmet to helmet. Should have been a first down, without a doubt. But didn't go that way, and apparently the NFL agreed with us because it was a flaggable offense. And they immediately blew it after the fact, too. Yep.
Sean Payton called the office, and they said, yeah, they screwed up.
You got us.
They screwed up. Amazing.
Let's go to Matthew, listening to us in Appleton. Matthew, how you doing? What's going on?
Doing well, Bill. I think we can probably agree that Andy Reid is a solid coach. So I'm left wondering why, at the end of that game, when your defense is clearly gassed, the offense is clearly chugging along, and you've got three timeouts left, and this is the play that could determine whether you're going to the Super Bowl, why don't you call a timeout?
Never understood.
Guys, a champ.
Never understood.
I did not understand that at all.
Your guys, if indeed your guys were gassed, like everybody's claiming, why did you not give your guys an extra 30 seconds to be able to just kind of take a breather? I don't know.
And my wife was surprised because I don't normally talk a lot during the games. And I'm like, well, okay, now we're going to have a timeout. I'm thinking I could go get something to drink real quick.
Right.
And they don't call it. And then Tony Romo says, well, why aren't they calling a timeout?
Right.
It just made no sense to me. I think it really underlines why Andy Reid has problems in playoffs, being able to get really far. That's a real fundamental thing to do. It's very simple.
You know what? When they threw the short pass to Julian Edelman, on that 3rd and 10, now granted they were going to 1st and 10, I'm thinking, you got to regroup. You've now given up back-to-back 3rd and 10s to Julian Edelman on the exact same play. Why are you not regrouping?
Indeed.
Or after he threw that pass to Patterson that fell short, and you had that was a 2nd and 10 going to 3rd and 10, when you were at your own 30, why did you not then call timeout? I didn't understand, because you had opportunity after opportunity prior to a 3rd and 10 to be able to regroup, and you came back and just let the clock roll and put them on their heels. And then you kind of felt they might go to Edelman again, because the old adage is, hey, I'll keep running it until you can stop it. But I thought to myself, there's no way they're going to do this again and just humiliate them. So sure enough, they put a kind of bracket coverage on Edelman. They go out to Gronk. They gave it to Gronk, and he rumbles for 15. I don't understand why they didn't call a timeout.
Me neither. I guess we never will.
Yep, I know. Appreciate it, Matthew.
By the way, we have not really talked about this. Maybe we can talk about it a little bit more tomorrow. Tony Romo
is fantastic.
He has become my new favorite analyst.
It's fantastic.
Predicting every play on that last drive by New England, one after another, after another, after another.
Yep.
Wow.
Between him and Collinsworth doesn't give you the foreshadowing that Tony Romo does.
I think he's better than Collinsworth.
I think he's now taken over, because I always thought Collinsworth was the best, and Tony Romo by far is an incredibly smart analyst.
For a guy that had zero broadcasting experience going into it, I mean, this guy...
He was fantastic. And I really,
he's entertaining.
You know what? And I look forward to his calls in the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God.
Because it's going to be him and Jim Nance.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, I think a lot of people were getting sick of Jim Nance and Phil Sims for the longest time. Like, they were just becoming boring. But Tony Romo has just, it's the shot in the arm that CBS needed. And that call was so entertaining last night. Romo was so into it. Try to get an interview with Romo at the Super Bowl if you can.
Yeah.
I mean, he's Burlington, Wisconsin native, for crying out loud.
We will have access to Tony Romo. When usually what happens is, it's either on the Tuesday or Wednesday prior to the Super Bowl, they bring the broadcast team in, and you're going to get everybody. You're going to get Coach Cowher, you're going to get Boomer Esiason, you're going to get everybody. And they put them all at specific tables, and they set them down, and we get a chance to just walk around from guy to guy and just ask them questions. So you better believe we're going to make it a point to get over to Tony Romo and talk to him a little bit about everything. I mean, obviously, being a Burlington, Wisconsin native, we'll talk to him about that, but... we're going to talk to him about everything. I'm looking forward to that. Obviously Jim Nance, we can talk to him about everything from the Super Bowl to golf. You know, he's been in Wisconsin numerous times to call a PGA championship.
He's got the best gig in the world. I mean, he's going to get to call the Super Bowl, and then he gets on a plane and gets to go out to California to call golf for the next month.
Yep.
And then he'll come back for March Madness, and then he'll get on a plane and fly down to Augusta to call the Masters.
Mm-hmm.
What a life.
Yeah.
What a life.
Yep. And he's married to a girl who's like in her 30s. Just had a kid.
Yeah, just had a kid.
Just had a kid.
God bless Jim Nance.
There you have it. Let's do this. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold Insider, are going to be joining us, my partner in crime, as we get ready to head down to Atlanta, Georgia. That is coming up next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Victory on the road, AFC Championship game. I mean, it was the way we fought this game. I mean, couldn't be more proud to be on this team. More proud to be out there with the boys, how hard we just kept fighting. Defense, offense, special teams. It was one of my sweeter victories, definitely.
If the Patriots win the Super Bowl, will that man, Rob Gronkowski, call it a career? It's possible. He's talked about it coming up near the end of his career. Welcome back to the program. The Bill Michaels Show continues on. Our friends at Cousin Subs bring you this portion. As tell you what, we had some Cousin Subs in studio today. It's just one of those days. Not a lot of people in the office today. Kind of scares. Thought, you know what? Let's just bring in lunch, grub down. So we always go to our go-to. That is Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. Cousin Subs had the pepperoni melt, the clubs. They've got the Euros right now for a limited time. Whatever the occasion, whatever it is your need, you better believe. They believe in better. You believe in better. That is Cousin Subs, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Patriots get the win. The Rams get the win. And now to talk more about it as we get ready to venture down to Atlanta, Georgia, this coming Saturday when we fly out of here. Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio and our Green and Gold Insider. And Mike, nobody's really talking about the game. Everybody's talking about the call and the overtime, the coin flip, that kind of stuff. But it's still going to, for sure, be a hell of a matchup.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And as I was watching the game, I was also thinking about, you know, Packers news and how far the Packers are going to have to go to play
right
with some of these teams, right?
Right.
You got Matt LaFleur continuing to work on his hires. He hired Adam Stenovich, a former practice squad guy for the Packers about 10 years ago, who's been an assistant offensive line coach of the 49ers. And so with that hire, it's another guy in his 30s. So this is really going to be a young coaching staff under Matt LaFleur, except for Mike Pettine. You know, Joe Witt's gone. He joined the Browns. That's part of what's going on. They're kind of getting rid of most of the McCarthy guys, if not all of them. But it's a younger staff so far. We'll see what he hires at wide receiver. The next thought was, you know, the Patriots winning and Tom Brady in the spotlight. And just my thoughts about Aaron Rodgers. You know, over the weekend, I know you guys were talking about the Packers left tackle David Bakhtiari jumping off a cliff in New Zealand.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got all kinds of wild stuff going on. I wouldn't trust, first of all, jumping off of a cliff. I wouldn't trust Bakhtiari even if he had a parachute because he's a big dude.
Well, that too. And I know a lot of people were saying, well, geez, you know, isn't that a violation of his conduct, you know, in terms of being safe in the off season, motorcycles and things like that? That stuff is written in. But don't forget, last summer, the quarterback was in the ocean with sharks on the Discovery Channel.
Right.
Remember that?
Yep.
And I also got to thinking about a story that I've kind of been sitting on, but I just want to let people know. One side about Aaron Rodgers that maybe is part of his makeup, and that is he is the perfectionist, but there's just certain things he wants to have done the right way. About 10 years ago when he was still backing up Favre, I heard from some people up in Green Bay that, boy, you know, we had this great party, and there was people from Salvation Army was there, and Santa Claus was there, and a bunch of these kids from lower-income families are there, and it was all funded by Aaron Rodgers, like $50,000. When he was like in his second or third year up there, still a young man. And it was all on the low-key and on the down-low and all that. There have been times where people have ripped Aaron Rodgers, and I'm sure that listeners have maybe spotted him in public and asked him for an autograph, and he blew him off. You know, it happens. But there was one time where the Packers were getting on a plane or coming back from a game, and there was a woman who was battling cancer, and she was wearing a bandana, and she was asking for some Packer player autographs, and Clay Matthews stopped and other players stopped. And in the video, you see Aaron Rodgers walking right by. So Mike Florio, who's on NBC now, has always tended to shoot from the hip, Mr. Pro Football Talk or Rumors.
Mm-hmm.
He ripped Aaron Rodgers. Do you remember this incident where he said, see, look, this is how arrogant Aaron Rodgers is.
Right.
Here's this lady with cancer. She's obviously going through chemotherapy. She's wearing the bandana. And he won't even stop for this lady in the airport to sign the autograph.
Right.
And then they track down the lady, and she says, no, Aaron signed a whole bunch of my stuff on the way out of town, like the day before.
Mm-hmm.
I was just out there to get guys that I hadn't gotten yet. No, Aaron couldn't have been nicer. He was there. And then Florio never really got around to apologizing for it, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
So, you know, players will – there was a big signing recently, an autograph signing, where all the players from the Super Bowl 31 team came back. And, you know, people are paying $250 or more for Brett Favre or other, you know, players' signatures. And the opportunity to meet these guys and get a picture with them, maybe that type of thing. And that's all well and good. But, you know, Rodgers, he's done some of these things for charities, and then he sees them end up on being resold.
Right.
And it's like, you know, I kind of wanted to do this for fans. You know, like you're a fan of the team, you're an Aaron Rodgers fan, you want this thing up. It's just not for commerce necessarily. And he's always trying to see if there's some way he can tie in a charity to it. So a couple of years ago, he tried this thing where, all right, I'll sit at a table, and you can we'll take 100 people, and if they all pay $100, and I'll match all that money, and we'll give it to the Salvation Army. So, you know, they announced the time. People were going to the atrium. They lined up. There was one tremendous story about this one woman, the single mom down in Texas, and she took her 13-year-old son because he was a huge Aaron Rodgers fan. From Texas, she bought the plane tickets. They flew up to Green Bay. They raced to the stadium, and you know, in cabs or Uber or whatever. They get there, and there's attendants out there hours before the event, and they're saying, "Oh, we're sorry, you're number 101. We're only taking 100 people. This is where the line ends.
Mm-hmm.
All these people have been camping out for the last 2 days or whatever." There was a man from Eau Claire that overheard this, and he said, "Where are you from? Texas? Really? Okay. You know what? I'll give up my spot. Since you travel all this way to mean something to this kid," and that's how they got in. And this guy had obviously driven, you know, 3 hours one way and back the other. So there's those kinds of stories. But Aaron hears these things and it's like, you know, and then he finds that he sees this stuff as being sold on eBay the next day from half these people. It's great they made the donations, but it's like, this is not what I'm trying to do. So this year, this is the kind of perfectionist he is. He worked with these people, community leaders, and said, all right, here's what we'll do. You guys from Salvation and these other groups, you go to these families that are going through a tough time, or maybe the child's got a health problem, whatever. You bring those families. We'll put on a big party, and then I'll just make a donation. The team will donate, and it'll go to these charities. And so he talked about how he changed the format this year. This was just before the Jets game this past year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that came about because I've made a pledge the last couple of years to match the donations that our team is doing with the Salvation Army. And as opposed to having a set dollar amount and allowing every autograph hound in the area to bring in their specific stuff, which they're selling online, I wanted to do something special for the kids. And there's a number of organizations that we invited kids from those organizations, and they were able to bring along either a parent or a mentor and just enjoy each other's company and meet new people and have some pizza. And I spent time at every table with each kid and their mentor and took pictures, and it was just a lot more intimate setting where you can really have time, one-on-one time with tables and kids and talk to them, and instead of kind of a flyby at the Salvation Army nights where you just kind of sign in. And again, the majority of those people are not real fans. They're autograph hounds in that setting. So just kind of eliminated the stuff that we didn't want to be a part of, and had a great night. And I really appreciate not only Rustique for helping us out with the pizza, but the Packer organization allowing us to use the tailgate zone. And we just had a really good time, and I look forward to doing that again.
He's a detail oriented guy, and he figures there's a right way to do things. And so that's the guy that Matt LaFleur's got to get to know and understand that when these details are not taken care of, he gets frustrated. He gets frustrated at loose ends.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little more about that. Also get into the meat and potatoes that is the weekend that was AFC and NFC Championship games. Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio, our Green and Gold Insider, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Quick Trip, who have the Fresh Blends machines. They are in the stores right now, and all you got to do is stop in and make a drink for yourself. Over 30 different drinks that you can make, from cold brews, frappes, fruit drinks, fruit smoothies, lemonades, whatever it happens to be, even shakes. You can make all of these right in the store now, right for your liking. All compliments of our friends over at Quick Trip. Also, don't forget to use your Quick Rewards card. That's Quick Rewards card. Go to Quick Trip, K-W-I-K, quicktrip.com, and use the Quick Rewards card. And check out all the different specials they have coming up each and every week as well. That is from our friends at Quick Trip. More of the Bill Michaels Show is coming up next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I didn't get to go last year, so this is pretty awesome. It's been a crazy year. You know, we're going to play an unbelievable opponent with LA. We just beat a really good football team. We knew it was going to go down to 60 minutes. A tough team. Yeah, tip your hat to Kansas City.
Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman there. And man, oh man, what a night it was for the New England Patriots. Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio on the line with us as we're getting you ready for the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 53, and heading down to Atlanta, down to the Atlanta, Georgia. And we can't do it without some of our great sponsors. The Nice Ash, theniceash.com. You can check them out. But they're on Main Street in downtown Waukesha, a great selection of spirits and beers and cigars. It's a cigar bar, a hookah bar, and they got some great entertainment, music on the weekends. They've got a terrific establishment down there, a very relaxed atmosphere. If you're looking to go watch a game, they've got televisions everywhere as well. So there's no reason not to head down to the Ash down in downtown Waukesha. Speaking of the opposite side, if you want to go see the games, if you want to go see some, hear some music, and maybe a terrific fish fry or the great gathering spot on the corner, Brewtown Eatery and Bar at 5121 West Howard Avenue. That's the end of the strip mall. And tell Jill and everybody there, including Norm, the big bartender, and Georgie, who just gets wild in that place, go tell them all we said hello, because it's a fun place, a lot of great music, a lot of great times inside Brewtown Eatery and Bar, again, on Howard Avenue at the end of the strip mall right there at 5121 West Howard Avenue. And my buddy Doc Levine, I call him Paul. Doc Paul, as I call him, but he is the premier resource for comprehensive range of family and cosmetic dental services in Brown Deer. Believe me when I say that your smile is in the best of hands, whether it's, kind of dental checkups or cosmetic makeovers, dental restorations, root canals, emergency care, whatever it is, he's a terrific guy, and just he will do everything in his power to help you out and have the best smile and the best mouth you can have. Welcoming patients of all ages for all care with a convenient one-stop destination for all your family's dental needs. That is my buddy Paul over there at Levine Dental, LEVINEDental.com, LevineDental.com. Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And Mike, now we get into kind of the meats and the bones. Julian Edelman there talking about how he began the season and now where they are going. In the meantime, the ninth Super Bowl for Tom Brady. I mean, that's almost unheard of.
Yeah, and Edelman, a guy who was on IR a year ago, he missed the Super Bowl because of the injury and the four-game suspension, PED suspicion. He ends up being your leading receiver last night. The crazy plays, like they thought that maybe, you know, the punt to return rolled off his hands, and then that incredible replay showed that it didn't hit him. Then they try and throw to him a few plays later, and Sorensen from the Chiefs gets the interception, and you think now finally the things are going to close the door and go the Chiefs' way. It was 21-17 at that point. But, you know, the coin flip, and Matthew Slater is still with this team, and he calls heads, and Tom Brady is going to his ninth career Super Bowl.
To the Super Bowl? It hasn't. No, it's hard to imagine. You know, yeah, it's just it's a great feeling. I think we've overcome a lot this year. Down but not out, and we found a way to play our best the last four games. Great way to end it. I was probably as excited as I've been in a long time, and a lot of things, one play here, one play there, could have changed everything, but that's football, and just proud of our team.
Mike, I know Tom Brady, you know, for what he's accomplished. I mean, it's just stupid. 14 AFC championships, 9 Super Bowls. He's won 5, going for his 6th. And meanwhile, you got a guy in Andy Reid, and Andy Reid needed this one as bad as anybody, and I don't know why he didn't call a timeout and try to help out his defense, but just some things, he ended up falling short again.
You know, and I know I thought about this today. I don't want to get into something that some national writer said about Andy Reid when he was wrapping up at Philadelphia, that this guy can't win the big one. And to me, watching that game last night, it's just more like I still can't figure out Bill Belichick. I still can't figure out how he gets perfection at that level, how he gets guys like Lawrence Guy. You see him on the field. I remember Lawrence Guy in camp. He was a seventh-round pick for the Packers in 2012. They gave up on him. He went to a couple other teams, played for the Colts. And Belichick puts this guy in, and he's playing championship football. I can't figure out how he does it. I can't figure out how he gets in a playoff game. He gives 29 carries to Sonny Michel for 113 yards. Or who's this Burkhead guy? For 41 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's running the football in there. And if I can't figure it out, well, guess what? You know, Mike McCarthy can't figure it out, and Pete Carroll can't figure it out, and Andy Reid can't figure out how New England just came and shut down Patrick Mahomes in his stadium at Arrowhead last night in that first quarter.
Yeah, so they blitzed about every down, played man coverage. They were able to get home there a little bit on some of their games. So we made a few adjustments at halftime and came back. I probably should have done them earlier. You know, that's my responsibility. It's going to hurt, which I could obviously see. That's important. That's how you get better. And this team has done that throughout the season.
The biggest thing, Mike, the controversy coming out of that game has been the fact that they lost the coin flip, and Tom Brady methodically took his team down the field. And then the last three plays, they ran it. I mean, Burkhead up the middle, up the middle, up the middle, and they just stuck it right to him. Look, I understand what people are complaining about not seeing Patrick Mahomes, but you had an opportunity to win that game and to stop New England, and you just weren't able to do it. Three third and tens converted.
Yeah, the three and outs, they were not ready for the run game. They were not ready for the execution of the Patriots' offensive line. Patrick Mahomes, you know, didn't play till the second quarter. With all the dominating time of possession that Tom Brady and the Patriots had, then he still came out there and started slinging around, threw three touchdowns, had a quarterback rating of 117, and the kid learned about what it's like to go up against Brady.
Ultimate trust in the defense. I mean, I know those guys are out there giving everything they have. I know those guys are doing whatever they can, and they ended up making more plays than we did in the end. But at the same time, I had the trust that we were going to get the stop, and if we got the chance, I felt like we were going to score.
And losing it in a coin toss, essentially.
Yep, no doubt. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk some NFC Championship game as well. Hang in there. More with Mike Clemens of NFL Sirius Radio, our Green and Gold Insider, coming up next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I've never coached in an atmosphere like that ever. It was so loud. You know, we had some communication issues from the start. We've dealt with it big time adversity, and it kind of personifies what type of team this has been really throughout the course of the year. Obviously, the first drive we had coming out of the second half wasn't ideal, but like we said, you know, guys just kept fighting, and Jared's mental toughness was a big part of us being able to win that today.
Welcome back. Sean McVay talking about the ability to overcome adversity in the Dome as Hoot Out Nation was loud, to say the very least. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. The final huddle of the year is going to take place this coming Thursday, 6 to 8. You're going to be able to hear on many of these same stations. It's going to be at the New Berlin Ale House, our final one, giving away the big screen TV coming up that night as well. But it's all brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline, final segment of the program today, Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio. And Mike, it was Sean McVay there talked about Jared Goff and say, look, not only did they have the communication issues, but the radio in his helmet at times wasn't working.
No, and Chris Myers from Fox was reporting that too, doing a good job right there in the sidelines. And Jared Goff says, yeah, it was loud. But my radio, isn't that weird? Isn't that weird? You're on the road, you're in the Superdome, and your radio doesn't work, isn't that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, strange.
Jared Goff said, I couldn't hear a thing the coach was saying to me.
I wouldn't have said this if it had we lost, but right before we went out there on the first drive, my helmet went dead. So I was wearing Sean Mannion's helmet for the first drive. And then throughout the second drive, the same thing. It was in and out. It was spotty. And when our defense was playing so well, I know I don't have to make it all up at once. It takes a little bit of pressure off the offense knowing that, okay, they're playing well against a damn good offense as well, and we got a chance to, you know, slowly chip away at this. We don't need to do it all at once.
Now, he's right, because they had a defense that was playing extremely well. The biggest thing to me, Mike, was when the Saints get the interception of Goff and they are not able to convert it into a seven. They kicked a field goal, and they were after a really good opening drive and then a big pick. They only were up 6-0,
exactly.
And that to me was the turning tide of that ball game.
Yeah, early on, and even though the New Orleans went up 13-0, and you could see how well they were using. I mean, they did a pretty good job of shutting down Michael Thomas, the secondary of the Rams, and Phillips, Wade Phillips, his defensive coordinator. The Saints doing a great job with Kamara coming out of the backfield. They couldn't stop that like screen or that little flare pass he would be getting. 9 yards, 14 yards in chunks, and then run Ingram up the middle. So they were moving the ball on him. The Rams, early in the game, were just getting away with murder. Corey Littleton, the linebacker who's back there trying to cover Kamara coming out of there,
he's got a couple of these helmet shots when he takes the guys down, and nothing's being called. And that happens a couple of times. And then, of course, you get down to the fourth quarter. The Saints are driving. If they get a touchdown, they can win this thing in regulation. And Drew Brees is back, and he's got Tommy Lee Lewis open on the right-hand sidelines. And there's this defensive back, Nickell Roby-Coleman, who just drills him. The ball hasn't even arrived yet. Just drills him. And Roby-Coleman said after the game, he put his hand up. He admitted, yeah, I thought I was going to get called on pass interference on that play.
I didn't look back at the ball. I didn't play the ball. If I would have played the ball, then it would have been a different story. But since I just went straight to him, and when I seen his hands go up and I hit him, I just heard the crowd go crazy, and I was like, oh, this is a flag. I thought it was for a split second, but, you know, Darrell got up. You know, when I got up, he said incomplete. So, you know, I just was like, thank you.
Thank you, because he knew he committed an error.
Well, and the thing about in the Saints locker room, this is really deep. They lost on the Minneapolis Miracle last year to the Vikings. Mm-hmm. That's how their season ended. They feel that they're getting picked on by the NFL. They don't think they get media attention down there. Jermon Bushrod, he was one of the last players along with Brees that was on their 2009 Super Bowl team. He came back. He thought there was a great attitude to this team to play offensive line. And he was asked about the no call on the pass interference.
That's probably one of the worst calls I've seen. But we still had an opportunity. We still had a chance. And we came up short, but it shouldn't have to be like that.
Now, he's right. Sean Payton working the refs during the game.
Yep.
He went in, spoke briefly to his team, then went to the office, picked up the phone, and he called the NFL in New York to talk about how can this happen? How does my season end when you blow a call like that?
Obviously, it's a disappointing way to lose a game. Frustrating, you know, just getting off the phone with the league office. They blew the call, and that call puts it first and 10. We're on an E3 plays. It's a game-changing call. So what do you do? You get back up, you start going to work. This will be a tough one for these players, for the coaches. And again, Rams did a great job. It was a well-fought game, hard-fought game.
Yeah, it was a tough one, no doubt.
They shut down Michael Thomas through much of that game, and he was asked, now your coach says, the league said to him on the phone, yeah, we're sorry, man, we blew the call. What's your reaction to that, Michael Thomas?
So I guess after they say that, what do we ask them? So do you give us a rematch? Can we play them again next Sunday? Can we reset the clock? Because we weren't playing this game to end up like that. We prepared. It's all about preparation. We both have jobs. We come out there, and you officiate, and you got a job to do too. So you got to do your job. So, I mean, it hurts. Like, we invest a lot into this, so it hurts, but I don't think they really care.
Drew Brees says he's coming back. He's 40, but he thought he was going to the Super Bowl this year.
Obviously, in a situation like that, it seemed like everybody in the world saw it. It's tough. It's tough. Throughout the season, when something like that might happen, or a call goes your way or it doesn't, you're on to the next play, right? You can't let it bother you, at least not for me.
Mike, I guess the best way to kind of put this all in a nutshell is you've got the oldest coach with the most experience going against the youngest coach, inexperienced, and the youngest coach is going to try to masterfully figure out whatever magic pill it happens to be, how to stop Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
Well, and I thought the reason the Rams would win is because of what they showed us against the Cowboy with a powerful offensive line and a run game. Torrey Gurley, that's kind of a mystery. Sean McVay doesn't talk about injuries. There's never anybody with injuries on Sean McVay's injury report. So that'll be something we're trying to figure out, because it looked to me like C.J. Anderson was wearing out toward the end of the game. But right now, Belichick is just on fire in terms of what he's getting out of his team and execution. And so, you know, Sean McVay and the Rams, they've got their work cut out for them.
Also, Mike, one of the other things, I guess, going into this game is, you know, Brady obviously going for his sixth ring. The fact that the guy's got 14 AFC championship appearances, 9 Super Bowl appearances, could be his sixth ring, 4 Super Bowl MVP titles. The big story is going to be, how much longer are you going to do this? Do you think there's a shot that him and Gronk go arm in arm and walk away at the end of this?
Yeah, I mean, that would be a great moment for them to do it, to go out on top as winners, as opposed to like a year ago at this time against the Eagles. And, you know, something we mentioned the other day, too. I mean, Tom Brady's wife, remember, it was a couple of years ago, the last time he won the Super Bowl, she came out with that story and said, and Tommy, he went through a lot of concussions. Like she was trying to push him then to say, okay, enough. You need to stop.
Right.
So you wonder if six rings will be enough for this guy.
I did like the fact last night we were sitting on the couch talking, Sherry and I, and he then says, before the interview really gets going, I'd like to say hi to my wife and kids and family who are all watching this back at home. And Sherry turns to me and says, they just know they're going to the Super Bowl. They don't show up unless it's a Super Bowl. Is that what it's come to in Patriots Nation? We'll see.
We don't go to those little playoffs. Yeah, we might go to the 53. Sure, we're thinking about it.
Arrowhead, their seats are drafty. Come on, man.
Exactly. It must be nice to live that life. Here's the weird thing. He's made $150 million as a football player.
Yeah.
She's made over $300 million as a model.
So they got a nice house is what you're saying.
She's the breadwinner.
Yes. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Mike, good stuff. We'll talk again later this week, buddy.
Thank you, boys.
There you go. Mike Clements, NFL Sirius Radio. That brings us to the end of the program, unfortunately. I can't get everybody in. I appreciate it, though. So tomorrow we're going to get back in this. How far are the Packers away from, and now you've seen it all, retaking the division, retaking the NFC. Then we can talk more about the call, the non-call, the Patriots there again, and maybe if you're looking forward to this matchup between the youngest and the oldest and the veteran versus the kind of rookies to this postseason, so to speak. We'll get into that discussion. And a whole lot more as the Bucs looking for their fifth straight win as well. There's a lot more to get to. Time for us to go. Have a go. Sleep.
Wisconsin Wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.